The great British statesman, Lord Acton, famously once said, "All power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely." Yes, we've all heard it. But what does this mean? The insight is that in the realm of politics and the civil order, the type of coercive power that one human being often wields over another is corrosive, not only for the one subject to this coercive power, but even more, and here's the great insight, even more for the people who wield this power. We are all victims of original sin. We are all victims of sin. And as a result, no one of us can pull the strings of power for very long before those very same strings start to pull us and pull us down. That is, the chains by which we level coercive power over others become the chains that turn us into monsters. Thus, the whole classical liberal system advocated a political system of divided powers, where there were multiple people in power, each checking and balancing the other. And this great insight, this has been basically the seed from which almost all of our contemporary liberties and freedoms have sprung, and that's a fantastic insight. Although this might be true in the political order, this cannot be an ultimate principle of the universe. This cannot be a metaphysical principle of the cosmos. Why? Why? Well, what about God? What about God? God is all-powerful. God has absolute power. And yet God is not corrupted by the existence or exercise of his power. It's just the opposite. So if it's true that absolute power corrupts absolutely, wouldn't that give us more reason to fear God rather than to love him? Well, I'm going to answer no. I'll answer no, but why? How do we know that the absolute power of God is not to be feared, but to be loved? Where do we learn that? Our Heavenly Father has built into the created world a type of power that mimics his own. There's a type of authority and power built into the created universe that not only mimics the absolute authority of God, but at the same time, instead of corrupting those who wield that power, it actually calls out from them acts of self-sacrifice, altruism, tender care, and self-surrender that transcend what they would formerly be able to accomplish. In other words, there's a type of authority that does not corrupt, but purifies. This authority is found in the family. It's the family. It's fatherhood and motherhood. And it is in the family where we find this perfective authority. And today is the feast of the most holy family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. On this day, we celebrate the fact that our Lord and God came to us in human flesh, not as a regal potentate, and not as a political ruler, or not with physical power, but he came in a normal human family. Jesus shows us that the ordinary, humdrum routine of family life is the primary means by which we grow in holiness, by which we learn to recognize God, and then once we recognize him, learn to love him and not fear him. Learn to love him. Jesus, Almighty God, Emmanuel, God with us, comes to us by first submitting himself to the rule of a mother and a father in a family. And he's obedient to his parents, showing us that authority is not something to be feared or avoided, but is in fact a means by which God makes his own loving providence visible on earth. How is that? How is that? This is because the family, and in the family, we first learn to love something greater than ourselves. This is because the family is more than a mere sum of its parts. It's more than the sum total of individuals that comprise it. No, the family is a whole. It is a unit in itself, and it's a good of the whole that is lovable and desirable in itself. The family as a whole is a good precisely because it is a whole and a unit, not just the sum total of individuals. And because it is a whole, it is actually loved by the individuals in the family more than the individuals even love themselves. That's the key. The whole of the family is a good that is greater than the individuals. Theology calls this type of good, is called a common good. It is the common good. And it is in the family that we first learn to recognize and love the common good, over ourselves. This is why mothers and fathers may indeed wield a type of authority that would make Lord Acton blush. But at the same time, this authority moves them out of love. Out of love, it moves them to self-sacrifice to something greater than themselves. In the family, we learn that in loving something greater than ourselves, we become greater. By sacrificing ourselves and loving ourselves more, we're loving others more than ourselves, we do not lose ourselves, but we actually find ourselves. And when we find ourselves even greater than we were. In the family, we learn that we are made by love and for love. Our origin is in love, and our destiny is in love, even biologically. And in the family, we learn that we are to move towards our own good, not by force of coercion, or not by violence or external threat, but we are to move towards God through love. It is love that moves us. In the family, it is father, mother, and child. We find our primary icon of God in the world. In the family is our primary icon of God's love in the world. The governance of God, governance of a God who is loving, teaches his children by love. And we can't make any mistake, brothers and sisters. Make no mistake. All the contemporary attacks on the institution of the family, whatever it might be, whatever form they come in, sexual libertinism, abortion on demand, marriage and divorce, same-sex marriage, these are attacks on God. This is why the very first commandment that directs our actions towards others, the fourth commandment, says, honor thy father and thy mother. And why? Why is that so important? It's in honoring our father and our mother that we most perfectly honor that fundamental relationship that we have to God. Listen closely to what the author of the book of Sirach teaches us. God sets a father in honor over his children. A mother's authority he confirms over her sons. Whoever honors his father atones for sin and preserves himself from them. When he prays, he is heard. The author continues. He stores up riches who reveres his mother. Whoever honors his father is gladdened by children, and when he prays, he is heard. Now we all know that our human families are complex. We are fallen. And our own human mothers and fathers are fallen also. Our own fathers and mothers are unfortunately just as human as we are. And so often they do fail to live up to the awesome calling that God has given them. Now, since the family resembles so closely the authority of God, it is no wonder that when family life is corrupted, it hurts so much. It hurts so much. Of course it hurts so much. And it's no wonder that in a fallen world, families can be the source of so much pain. So much pain. And I know this pain in my own life, brothers and sisters. But if our own families are the source of pain, we might be tempted to look upon God with suspicion. Maybe God doesn't love us either. Maybe God and his creation is out to get us. No, brothers and sisters, this is a deception. Don't fall into the trap. Let's not confuse a faulty icon for the real thing. This is also why our families need a redeemer. Our families need to be redeemed. Our families need the grace of God. Jesus redeems the family. He calls family life back to the purity of its origins. Let's not forget, when the Pharisees in the gospel ask Jesus directly about the breakup of the family in his own day, when they ask him about divorce, he simply responds, "From the beginning, it was not so." From the beginning, it wasn't so. Family life was meant by God to be a harmonious icon of his own love. The call to family life, then, is an almost impossible calling. We need grace. We can't do it on our own. We cannot live in families by our own power. We need grace. We need God's help. We need the sacrament of marriage to strengthen families, and then when families fall, we need the sacrament of confession so they have the healing that they need. We need it. Our Heavenly Father loves the family. Our society will stand and fall by means of the family. So brothers and sisters, let us not fear God. Let us not fear our Heavenly Father, the power of God. He loves us. He has called us to be members of his own family. Let us embrace the call. If our own families have hurt us, let us forgive, 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 forgive. 7 times 70. And then even more. And not if, but when we hurt our family members, let us beg for forgiveness from them. Beg for forgiveness and repent. Our God is a family of Trinitarian love. God is a family of love, and let us live that call every day of our life. Amen.